Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to original Dream Girl, Cheryl Lee Ralph, about her role on the Amazon series One Mississippi, as well as her two other film projects. She also opens up about why she continues to advocate for HIV/AIDS awareness and prevention. Filmmaker and CAU faculty member April Lundy is here to chat about her new documentary short on WCLK. And emerging actor Terrell Hill is in the studio to chat about his numerous TV and film projects and transitioning from the classroom to the movie set. We'll also be playing music from Miss Ralph, as well as indie artist Jen Sparrow. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is seeking real mother and daughter duos for the upcoming movie, Insatiable. The film is looking for mothers with daughters who are 16 to just over 18 years for a fun two-day pageant scene. Some pageant experience is preferred, but not mandatory. If this is you, please submit your mother and daughter photos and contact information to insatiable@centralcasting.com with mom and me in the subject line of the email. Other related entertainment news, congratulations to Motown legend Diana Ross. The Grammy Award-winning singer, actress, fashion icon, and philanthropist will receive this year's coveted American Music Award for Lifetime Achievement. Miss Ross will be recognized for 5 decades of outstanding artistic contributions to the entertainment industry and popular culture. The American Music Awards airs on Sunday, November 19th at 8 p.m. on ABC. Go to WCLK to see the full list of nominees. Don't forget to tune into BET HERS, inaugural concert special. BET HER Fights Breast Cancer, hosted by power actress Naturi Naughton. The evening features incredible music and positive messages to help raise awareness while celebrating cancer survivors and encouraging action to save lives. Look for inspirational performances from powerhouse singers Keisha Cole, 7 Streeter, Alice Smith, and the incomparable girl group Escape. This show airs tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on BET HER, followed by a premiere at 10 p.m. on BET. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Georgia State's Rialto Center, presenting vocalists Lisa Fisher and Grand Baton on Saturday, October 28th at 8 p.m. After spending decades 20 feet from stardom, she will be front and center on the Rialto stage. That's Lisa Fisher on Saturday, October 28th at the Rialto. Ticket information is available online at rialto.gsu.edu.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard the voice of Tony-nominated Broadway star Cheryl Lee Ralph as Dena Jones in the smash hit musical Dreamgirls. Ms. Ralph stopped by the Upfront Studios this week to discuss her latest series for Amazon titled One Mississippi. She also opens up about starring alongside Morgan Freeman in Just Getting Started and Naturi Naughton in Stepsisters. Well, good morning, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very good, and it's very good to be here and Upfront.
I know. Mm-hmm. So the last conversation we had was by phone,
yes.
But I've got you in the studio, so I'm so excited
it's
to have
nice
you.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. You look great.
Thank you. I feel good. Nothing to bother me.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah. You've got a lot going on. Lots of new projects.
Ain't got good.
Yeah. New yes. film projects. A lot yes. going on. But let's go back. Let's start back with Wicked. You just completed your run on
yes,
Broadway.
9-month run on Broadway as Madame Morrible. And I got to tell you, it was great fun, but it was grueling too. Oh my gosh. That whole eight show a week, you know, waking up at night, I feel like an artistic vampire. I live for the night. I live for the show. You know, it's all about the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, the physical therapy to be able to do the show. My costume weighed a good 15, 20 pounds.
Oh my
gosh. You know, to carry it around. The only great thing about it was with all of that and walking to work, I lost a good 5 pounds. So I loved that. But, you know, the moment you stop doing all of that, that's when it starts creeping back up on you.
Yeah.
But I was loving it. It was great.
So what was it like playing that character? Because she was such a departure from what we normally see you play in terms of your characters.
You know, I don't even know if she was a departure.
No.
She was a big old, the way I played it, she was a big old glam doll. She was a big old magical diva, and she was going to take you down. So, you know, when that witch says, I'm going to defy gravity, she says, ha, I know your secrets, and I'm taking you down.
Wow.
They just never wrote the show that she did get to take her down. But if they wrote it about the three witches, oh, it would be a whole different story.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it had been so many years since you had been on Broadway. So mm-hmm. just to be back.
Well, not really, because I was on Broadway 12 years ago doing Thoroughly Modern Millie.
That's right, that's right.
So it seems like every 10 years I go back to Broadway.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've also got another show on Amazon.
Yes.
One Mississippi.
One Mississippi with Tig Notaro, which is a wonderful show, cutting edge show. We've gotten such critical acclaim for this show. But, you know, it's interesting with the show. I look at it and I say to myself, this is such great TV. I hope more people get to see it.
Yeah.
You know, they introduced my character, Felicia Hollingsworth, and she's very much a challenged woman on the spectrum. She's got her issues, but she is a high-functioning woman. And there's some scenes where I get to say some things about being Black in America, and it just makes me feel so good that I was chosen by the great power, as you know, God or whomever,
yeah,
to be around at this time, to be the one to say those things, you know. You know, the impact of slavery on African Americans, you know, it's not something to be sugarcoated. It's something to be talked about.
And this is such a great time to be on television because there's so many beautiful Black faces on TV.
Yeah.
You've got Queen Sugar, you had Underground, you've got Empire.
Yeah.
Just so many good shows. So how does it feel to be on during this time?
I always knew this was a time that would come. You know, I've got so many mentors that were there in the industry before me, and they were waiting for this time. They would talk about, ooh, when this happens, you know. They, you know, with the whole black drama, black family dramas, you know, everybody was waiting for that. Everybody was waiting for the beautiful black smart girl. Everybody was waiting for that. They were all waiting for the family that was funny but really wasn't a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were waiting for that. They were waiting for the political story, but our politics. We're still waiting for that. But you know, there's the possibility of that happening more and more. And it is so good to be an artist, a black artist, a female artist in this time right here, right now, because this is the time folks were talking about.
Wow.
Yeah, Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dee would have been very proud and happy to see the things that Viola and her husband with Juvie are trying to, are going to get.
They've got
off
the new
the
series
ground.
Black Don't Crack that's
How
coming up.
That?
Yeah.
How about that? I'm looking forward to seeing who's in that.
You should be in it.
Well, it depends on what Black Don't Crack mean.
Okay.
It could be Black Don't Crack from the way we know it, meaning our melanin keeps us facially strong and beautiful for a long time and we don't wrinkle. Or it means that we can stand up to the pressures of life and we don't crack under pressure. So we don't know what the trajectory of the story
is. It's the latter. It's about sorority sisters that come back together and realize that there's strength in the sisterhood and strength in helping each other as middle-aged or aging, or women of a certain age, African-American women of a certain age.
Well, now, see, I want to know, is there a Delta in the group? Are we talking about Delta, a.k.a. Zeta women coming together? Are they from all different sororities? Yeah. Now, that would be interesting. Yes.
Yeah. That's why I was like, you, hey, we're going to put it out there. You need to be on this show.
Honey, please. You know what? We should put it out there, but you know who has got it under control? God.
Yeah. Yeah.
God has got it. I say this all the time. My best days are ahead of me. I don't know what anybody else is thinking, but I know it's coming to me. There's going to be that show, that moment, that thing, and people are going to say, wait, what? And I'm just going to say,
So let's talk about, you've got two new films that are coming out, Just Getting Started, which I saw the trailer and it is hilarious.
It's
you crack me up. You said, I wonder if he could lift me like that.
Oh my gosh. It is so funny. First of all, it was one of those, the few times where the director said, just do what you do. Just say what you say. Yeah. Okay, just laugh the way that you laugh.
Right.
And I was like, he really means this. And this is from the same director that brought us White Men Can't Jump.
Okay.
This is the same director that brought us Bull Durham. You know, Bull Durham, by the way, is going to Broadway. No role in it for me, but it is going to Broadway. And he was just so great to work with. Now, you have to picture this, how things work sometimes. I am with my husband, Senator Vincent Hughes.
That's right.
I am with the senator at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. On Wednesday, I get a call from my manager saying, the director wants to see you for a role in this movie, which at the time was called Villa Capri, with
Morgan Freeman.
Tommy Lee Jones. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay. And they say, but you might be too young for it. And at which point I was like, and then I realized that they were really looking for somebody like 65 or so.
Okay.
So I was like, well, yes, thank God I'm too young for that. So I have to get there for a meeting with him on Friday. I'm like, do you know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is the last day of the Democratic National Convention. Do you know where everybody's going to be? Leaving Philadelphia. They will be at the airport. I don't have a ticket.
Yeah.
My husband starts searching. Can't get into LA. Can't get into Orange County. Can't get into, Ontario.
Okay.
Can't get into Long Beach. We end up getting into Orange County, which is an hour and a half down the 405, and we've got to drive up the 405 on a Friday afternoon. I got there 5 minutes before 6 o'clock. That director looked at me and he said, I'm hiring you just because of the effort.
Wow.
I sat down. I said, well, this feels good.
Yeah.
And that was that. That's how that happened. So you never know how your job's coming to
you.
Yeah. And you never know why you're going to get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's coming out December 8th.
Okay.
And I really want people to go support the movie. Support me. Support Morgan Freeman. Go support God.
Yeah.
Yes. Support Morgan Freeman. We want to make some money because I want to make a plot too.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
in
right.
Bali.
You also have Stepsisters, which was actually shot here in Atlanta, I believe, with Naturi Naughton.
Megan Good.
Okay.
Megalyn.
Okay.
Megalyn, Notori, and it was a really great script. The concept is great. And the concept is that this young black woman has to take on a community project, and the white sorority has been put on probation. The only way they can get off probation is to be nicer and learn to do better. And they're put in the hands of this black girl who teaches them how to step.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At which point, her mother, past president of the organization,
right.
And it's a crazy name because our name is basically, we're a Phi, we're a Delta, we're an Omega, we're all these things put together. And so many sorors of different sororities were like, why are you throwing up another sorority symbol? And I'm like, that's no sorority.
Right.
We just like red and gold, you know? And
it's for a film.
It's a film. We're working on a film. But that's another film where I got to say some very important things. And I was happy that it was me, too.
Yeah.
And sometimes I said, I'm going to start to chop together some of the things that I have said in movies because they've been, in many ways, very impactful, especially when you put them all together at different phases of my career. It's like, wow, I've been making a statement. And I was like, gee whiz, it was pretty good.
Thank you for that exclusive interview, Ms. Ralph. We'll be hearing more from her, but first, CAU TV and film professor and rising filmmaker, April Lundy, stopped by the Upfront Studios this week to chat about her new independent film on WCLK titled 50 Watts from Noon Till Midnight. The film is currently part of a documentary film exhibition at the AUC's Robert W. Woodruff Library until October 23rd. Lundy discussed with me why this film is so important to preserving the legacy of jazz and more.
Well, good morning, April Lundy. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. We're excited about this project. You have put something really nice together in honor of WCLK. We've been around for 43 years, and you have created this independent film, this short about WCLK. What was the inspiration behind that? Because you were a student here at one point, and now you're a faculty member. So what was the inspiration behind putting this film together?
Actually, I wasn't fortunate enough to be an undergraduate or graduate student here. I started, I've been here 12 years.
Okay.
As
See,
faculty.
I thought you were a student.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I've been here 12 years, and I actually did not start listening to WCLK until I started working here.
Okay.
And it became the programming became the soundtrack of my life. It stays on in my house 24/7, 365.
Wow.
And it just makes me happy. It creates a vibe, the community programming, the music, the different, musical shows. And so I started becoming interested in the history of WCLK. And I started digging, and then I couldn't find much.
Wow.
And that inspired me to create something so that the next person will actually be able to find something. So this is really a preservation piece as well.
So April, let's talk about this incredible title, 50 Watts from Noon to Midnight. How did you come up with that? Because that's so creative.
Thank you. I actually did not have a title until almost final cut of the short. And what resonated with me was when the station launched, the station has survived so much, including technical issues, limitations in space, limitations in wattage. And I just thought, 50 watts from noon till midnight is not a lot. And just look what has grown from that. So that inspired me to make that the title of the piece.
How did you, now knowing that there was very little, I guess, history when you started initially working on this, how did you find what you needed to create this film?
Yeah, very, very little documented history. There is a lot of oral history.
Okay.
So I started to dig and find out who were the players from the very beginning. When did it start? How did it start? And people would point me to, certain people who worked at the station when it launched. And I met Stan. Well, I knew Stan before, but I really got to know him when I started working on this project.
Yeah.
And I found out that the alumni, the student workers who were here in the 70s, still had a community. And I started basically tapping those one by one and uncovering other people. So, yeah.
Yeah. Was there a single thread that sort of ran through all of their stories that you can share with us?
A single thread? That's a great question. The one, I guess, single thing that's nostalgic to everybody is the excitement of the station at the time it launched, and them nobody really realizing how big WCLK would become, how it would actually become a legacy. And Stan Washington refers to it as an institution, and I would tend to agree. It has a life of its own. Just the energy, the spirit of the station, and all of these players and people that have come through have stories to tell. But I really wish, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but I really wish like these walls could talk.
And it's funny because we often would say that, you know, before we renovated the studio in here, there was the shag carpet on the wall. And I was like, if this carpet could speak some of the things, you know, that it would say. Yeah. But so Stan Washington, who's sort of like the face, you have him on the poster of the film. What was one of the stories that he may have told you that just really stood out for you?
Stan is very passionate about his experience with the station as a student. He's very passionate about the news stories that he uncovered as a student. And he's very passionate about keeping the history and the story alive. And it was a great picture. You know, Stan he's unique. He has like these unique expressions on his face. And I don't know, that image spoke to me kind of last minute. I had not planned to make that like the cover of anything. But it spoke to me. Yeah.
Well, April, thank you so much for being a guest here on Upfront. Where can our listeners go and check out this snippet of 50 Watts from noon to midnight? Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It is now exhibiting at the Robert W. Woodruff AUC, Atlanta University Library, on the first floor, walking towards the cafe. There is an installation exhibit of the trailer and a poster that has the link to the actual website, where you can see the full documentary short on the website.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Upfront listeners. You can now follow us on Instagram under Upfront the Show. We'll have exclusive photos, giveaways, and much more. That's Upfront the Show on Instagram.
Hi, this is Karen White, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
It's homecoming here at Clark Atlanta University, and we're celebrating by putting a spotlight on one of the university's emerging alumni, Terrell Hill. The actor, producer, and budding filmmaker is making quite a name for himself and has appeared on a number of hit TV series such as BET's The Quad, Being Mary Jane, and Lee Daniels' drama, Star. He also has a slew of upcoming projects including Acrimony with Taraji P. Henson and Step Up High Water. Check out my conversation with the 23-year-old actor as he talks about balancing his newfound fame.
Well, good morning, Terrell Hill, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great. How about you, man?
Oh, man, this is really good. You are everywhere. I mean, you were just here last year.
Right. Graduated 2016.
That's right. And now you're on Star, Being Mary Jane, all booed up with Niecy. You're doing Tyler Perry movies. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah,
man. Congratulations.
Thank you. God is good, man. My first TV booking came while I was at Clark.
Yeah.
So it was like a great experience shooting I'm Homicide and The Quad. While I was going to campus, it was like I wrapped up class and then went to my trailer. It was real cool. You know what I'm saying?
So let me say this. Terrell Hill is a former CAU student, and this week is a huge celebration here at Clark Atlanta because it's our homecoming week. And ran into this guy last week and was like, oh my God, you're all over the place. And I was like, I got to get you on because it just made sense to have you come back.
I'm excited
homecoming.
To be back. Homecoming, man. It's a big week.
And you're just, I mean, like I said, you're everywhere, but you were grinding as a student. I mean, you were taking classes and on film sets at the same time. So how did you balance being a student and then being you weren't necessarily a full-time actor, but you were a part-time actor.
Right.
So how did you balance the two?
It was really just prioritizing. You know what I mean? I didn't give precedence to like going to like the weekly parties at Thirsty Thursdays, or I didn't give precedence to like going to all the school events. And it wasn't that I still attended basketball games and football games. Like I had school spirit, no doubt, but it was really about, all right, what did I come here for? Did I spend X amount of dollars to be in the same position when I graduate? Did I spend the money to come for school?
Right.
And then did I come to school to build my career? Those were the two. So anything else was not really all that big of a priority for me.
Yeah.
So I think when you just kind of reevaluate your schedule, it's easy to balance because you're not really cluttering yourself with too many other distractions.
Yeah. Now, you know, like I said, you are in the quad. You're on Big Mary Jane.
Right.
You've got a star that you're going to be on. And we're going to come back to that. But let's talk about some of the lessons that you learned here at CAU, because you were a mass media arts student with a concentration in television and film. What was the biggest lesson that you learned?
Balance. I think one thing that I can see right now, right? We had quite a few people in the department. I think maybe like 200 or 300. And I remember when I was trying to shoot like the film that I directed that went to the festivals and did pretty well.
Right.
I did that while I was here. And I was learning from the same professors that everybody else was learning from. But I even remember screening the film here and everybody was getting mad at the teacher because they were saying, well, you didn't teach us how to do that. And it was weird because I felt like, well, that's not true. These teachers taught me how to do it.
Right.
It's really just about like if you really love something, you can't just do the bare minimum. You can't just do what the teacher assigns. When class was out, I was here like trying to teach myself how to edit. And I would stay here sometimes to like 7, 8 o'clock because I had the resources. I can't afford a Mac, but these schools have Macs. Why not just use them? You know what I mean? And I think the biggest lesson is just you can't expect to go really far doing the bare minimum. If you want the best of the best of the best for your career, you have to put in those extra hours. You have to sacrifice. You have to make the decision to stay and talk to these teachers, be in their faces, go to their office. These teachers work in the industry. I just walked Dr. E down the promenade and we talked about all the stuff that I'm filming now. And he just told me about something he filmed for Channel 46 or something. He's not just a teacher. He's a successful person in his trade. So I think it's just making the decision to want more for yourself and utilizing what you came here for and not just showing up from 1 to 150 expecting to be as good as the people in the industry.
Right. So it's almost as Reva and I have talked about plenty of times, is blooming where you are, taking advantage of where you are and utilizing those resources outside of, like you said, just your class time.
I would have never thought in a million years I would have the access to things that I have now. I didn't grow up with money. So coming out here and having like all these computers and having the studio equipment, Studio A, Studio B, this was like a playground for me. Wow. You know what I mean? So I didn't take it lightly. I took it as like, Terrell, when you graduate, you ain't really going to have the money for none of this stuff. You better do what you can to get in the industry now, because I didn't plan on having a 9-to-5. I still don't have a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I just try to, you know, balance and make priorities, not spend money when I don't have to, and, you know, just make better decisions.
So you've got, let's see, we mentioned the quad, being Mary Jane. You've got Star. A pretty good episode that's going to be coming
out,
up.
Yeah, comes out October 25th, episode 5. It's going to be a big one.
And so tell us a little bit about your character.
Well, my character is Lucas Lucky Keys. And if you've been keeping up with Star this season, you know that extremely talented Luke James is on the show now. And his character's name is Noah Brooks. He's signed to the same label as the girl group, Big Trouble. And I am his childhood friend. Very protective, not the best reputation. So to a lot of people, I'm perceived negatively. However, Noah kind of fights for me. And there's a situation in this episode where we kind of see, I don't want to give it away, but things happen in the episode that changed the whole dynamic of Noah's character.
Okay.
Based on me protecting him. So it's a big character. He's affected by what happens in episode 5 for pretty much the rest of the season. And I was just blessed to be a part of this set. I mean, Lance Gross, Michael Michelle.
Yeah, you've got Evan Ross. Yeah.
Evan Ross.
Elijah Kelly. Yeah.
It was one part, right, where I was watching playback and it was crazy because I'm talking to somebody, right? And I'm watching the playback. It's me in the forefront and standing behind me is Jude and Luke. And right behind them is Michael Michelle and Lance Gross. Like, I would have never thought like that would be a still. You know what I mean? I can't wait to like share that with the world. And I've never had Fox's viewing. Being Mary Jane did well. The reviews are great. Maybe a million viewers or something like that. But Fox, nothing against BET, but Fox's viewership ratings will give you multi-millions. I think Star comes in at like 6 million a week. That's more than I've ever been exposed to, my knowledge. You know what I mean? So I'm really nervous, but at the same time, I'm extremely excited. And then Billy Woodruff, of course, like the GOAT, man. I got to meet Billy Woodruff and Chris Robinson, director of the New Edition story. It was an unforgettable experience. And Queen Latifah, man, I saw her. I just saw her. That was great. It was real cool.
You've got some quite a few movies coming out. A Bad Mom's Christmas. We've got She's Living My Life, which is formerly known as Acrimony.
Right.
Okay, and that's starring Taraji P. Henson, Tika Sumpter, Danielle Nicolette, Lyric Bent, and Kendrick Cross. How did you get a part of that project? That's a Tyler Perry project. So
auditioning, man. Just auditioning, just like everything else on IMDb resume. It's literally just walking in the room and just trying your best. Like, that's really what it is. I actually get questions about, how did you get a part of that? Or even when I was shooting the quad, there were extras around me that were my classmates. So in between takes, they try to ask me, how did you get a speaking role?
Yeah.
And really, it's the process. It's getting an agent. It's spending the money on headshots and investing in your craft and doing what you can to be better and better and better and better. And then walking into the room that God's supposed to have you in and getting what you need. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how.
Now, you also just recently jumped the broom.
Right.
Former CAU student, Miss Lauren Lotthill.
Shout out to the queen.
Yeah.
Man. She's doing a great.
On Broadway, right?
She's on Broadway. Yeah, yeah. She's going to be on Once on This Island. She's coming off of Motown, the musical. And she also TV. She did The Quad with me. She did Greenleaf this past season. She was on The Game when it was out. She did American Idol.
Yeah.
She's moving too. You know what I mean?
So how do you balance all of that as well, you know, the career, and now you're newly married, because both of you guys are in entertainment. I mean, right. It's like you guys are kind of like a Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee, or maybe more current generation of Boris Kojo and Nicole Irie Parker. So how do you guys balance that?
Communication. I mean, it's weird. We get relationship advice, right? I'll get like a question from somebody who's talking about like, my husband has to work late hours. I don't have a lot of time to, and I'm 23. But at the same time, distance and late night hours and unpredictable, that's our life. So sometimes I'll get this advice, and coming from an entertainment standpoint, I'm like, that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's really just communication. That's not to demean anybody else's situations that they go through in a relationship, but even with something like that, that's communication. Things I gotta deal with is like her kissing another dude on set and me not wanting to fight, and likewise with her on being Mary Jane, I do the same thing. So like, communication is really how you hold all that together. And you know, we're making it work, and no complaints. She's the queen. She always be the queen. He who find a wife find a good thing, and God's blessing to both of us. No complaints.
So, Terrell, congratulations on everything. You are just doing it. I mean, it's so many film projects, television projects, really good stuff coming up.
Thank you.
And again, just, you know, welcome back home for homecoming.
Home, man. I love it. I love it so much. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. Thank you, WCLK. Thank you, man. This is beautiful.
This is Ian LaVanzant, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
That is one of my favorite tunes from the Dreamgirls soundtrack, featuring the one and only Cheryl Lee Ralph. Listen to the rest of my exclusive interview with her as she talks about her continued advocacy of HIV/AIDS and why she almost pulled the plug on her Divas Simply Singing event.
Now, speaking of important things, you continue to be an advocate for HIV/AIDS awareness and prevention through your Divas Simply Singing, and I know that's coming up, that's gearing up in December.
December 9th, what
can we expect this year?
Oh my gosh, December 9th. You know, after doing a show for so long, after you get 25, it's sort of like after 25 in life, you're an adult, you need to be able to take care of yourself. Sometimes 25 years of an event, it can get old, and I didn't want the show to get old. So I said, who's been with me every year of this show? My children have been with me every year. Have they learned anything? You know, can they be a part of this? What part of the legacy can they carry on?
Mm.
So I'm adding my children. I'm adding a young person and a vision for an award for vision. And this is a young person who literally just came to me, and I was talking to them about divas, and they were like, Ms. Ralph, you don't have to sell me. I get it. And they said, more than that, I get you. And that's Todrick Hall.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know who Todrick Hall is.
Yeah.
But trust me, Todrick Hall is one of those people. I'm happy to say I saw it before you saw it. I acknowledged it before you saw it. Because Todrick is coming for the big picture of it all. So he's going to get our Vision Award. And then I wanted to add a Diva Simply signing. Because Jennifer Lewis, who has been on stage with me for, if we've been doing this 27 years, she's done this show, like Loretta Devine, at least 25 years with me, always there. So she's got this book coming out called The Mother of Black Hollywood. And we're going to have a Diva Simply signing. So when people come this year, there'll be different things, you know, different price levels. If you want to see the show, it's one thing. If you want to see the show and have dinner, because we're going to be at the Taglian Center, and it's a great place for food. Okay. And it's, you know, it's a great ambience and great food. That's one price. If you want to be there and see the divas simply singing, that's another price. If you want to do all of that and get your book with the Diva Simply signing and singing too, you know, that's a whole nother price.
Yeah.
So we're working on doing that. But the reason it came together late this year was I honestly thought that this was the year that I thought that last year was going to be the last year.
Mm.
I really thought that, you know what, it's time for us to rotate out, let other people do what they do. And then somebody called me. And they said, Shirley Ralph, nobody does what you do because you don't get paid for it. Nobody's backing you. And you don't have to do it. And that really got me because that was my truth. But I didn't know anybody was paying attention to it.
Mm.
And that was like, I was really like, and I hate using the word like, but I was really moved by that. And, you know, for me, Divas is a living memorial. It's a memorial to all the friends that I lost. And it was so strange because just last week, Friday, I lost a friend to the disease. And she was such a great person. And she was such a great warrior for others with the disease. And I said, if I've ever had lots of reasons to do it, you know, one, I see young people who know what happened and can carry on the story because there's so many young people that don't know and will never have the information. And my friend will always be an angel to the event. Because she was one of those people that we supported in South Africa, you know. And three, the vision of somebody to see that he's important no matter who, no matter what.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I hate that like. And I was just, you know, we're doing it. We're going to do it once again against all odds. The 27th annual Divas Simply Singing.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you so much for stopping by up front. This has been amazing, and it's always so good to see you, and just so happy to see you on the big screen. I hate I didn't get to see you on Broadway, but I know that's coming back around. I know that that's going to
come
back. I'm
sure, you know, people always say you're never through with Oz. Once in Oz, always in Oz. So now my Morrible has become, for many people, an iconic Morrible in that... so many people said I transformed the character. So many people who loved the show for these past 13 years said when they saw it again, they never realized how important Madame Morrible was to the story of the witches.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I was like, how could you not know how important she was to the story of the witches? To me, she was not some old witch. To me, she was a powerful witch whose powers were yet to be discovered. And when she comes to power, you ain't ready for what you're gonna see. So I guess that's my life story, huh?
Right.
Thank you.
No, as you say,
Yeah, there you go. Are you following me on social media?
I am.
Instagram?
I am. Instagram too.
Twitter?
All of that.
Thank you. We need that. And follow us on thedivafoundation.com. Thedivafoundation.com. If you don't use the, you end up with some Canadian divas. Okay. So it's thedivafoundation.com. We have to put tickets and stuff up there so people can come out and support divas. Besides, who knows, Fulton County might say, we got to have a divas in Atlanta.
That's right.
How can you have a city of divinely inspired, victoriously awesome, talented singers and not have them perform in Diva Simply Singing?
Hey.
I don't understand that.
We got to make it work.
We have got to make that work. Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, once again, Ms. Ralph, thank you so much for being a guest here on Upfront, and looking forward to seeing you on the big screen.
There you go. I'll be there.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Cheryl Lee Ralph, April Lundy, and Terrell Hill. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, October 28th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.